Many times I've about lost my way, but he's never lost his. And I want to thank him for that. You know, church, there's some real heresy being preached in our independent Baptist churches. I'm talking about real heresy now. In some of the places that we're acquainted with and familiar with, I heard two messages, in fact, while I was gone, not in-person messages, but on tape. That was preached in a Bible conference that some men were in that we know, some men that's preached here in our pulpit. And they're embracing some doctrine that is pretty rank. In fact, they are denying the Adamic sin in the fallen race. No original sin. A man is not saved, lost rather, because of Adam's fall. He's only a sinner by choice. And he's not lost until he has an opportunity to make that decision. And it depends on what decision he makes, whether he goes to heaven or hell. Well, that tells me right quick that a man be able to live and go to heaven without ever needing Christ as his sacrifice. Because if he made the right decision, then he could go to heaven in his own merits and would never need the sacrifice and the shed blood of the Lord. And you'd be amazed, some men's involved in that. This crowd's preaching sinless perfection. They're preaching that Romans 7 was written to the lost man, not saved. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9, verses chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 is not written to save men, but written to lost men. And when a man gets saved, he no longer, and I understand what they're saying, no longer has a sin nature. I don't necessarily believe in a sin nature, but I believe we got this flesh. Adam's dead, but we got this flesh to contend with. And as long as we do, we're capable of sinning against God. And we're going to have to fight that sin until they claim there's no sin that we got to fight. The victory is there. And there's no fight to be fought. And I'm telling you, friend, men, and it is heresy in high places. It really is. And it may amaze some of you to know where some of it's coming from. It really flabbergasted me when I listened to the tape. Didn't hear anybody that we know preach the tape, but there were some voices in the background that was well identified. Well identified. Saying, amen and hallelujah to it. And I'm telling you, it's a tragedy. It really is. Well, it's good to be back here. I hope that I've tried to preach something to you that you know a little bit more about God and a little bit more about the Bible than that. Amen. I hope so anyhow, that you surely believe that all mankind is damned and doomed because of Adam's fall. Here's what these people said. That nobody is a sinner because his father was a sinner before him. And therefore, we couldn't be sinners out of Adam because Adam's everybody's father. I'm telling you, that's right, I heard that with my own ears now. Now, that's pretty rough stuff, you ask me. And they say, once a man is saved, all sin is eradicated in him. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. And so if a man gets saved and that sin is totally eradicated, he'd never die. But there's still a law of sin in our members. That's right. And that law of sin is going to take us to our grave. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 127 in your Bibles. When you find that, let's stand together. Psalm 127. I don't know, I may not be able to do much more than talk to you tonight. I try to preach a little something, God will let me. The Bible says in verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for a perfect Bible that's been entrusted to imperfect men But I pray tonight, Lord, that by the power of Your Spirit, that You would enable me, I pray, to rightly divide this book and preach to Your people the blessed Word of God. That we might separate ourselves from this world and sanctify ourselves unto God. And Lord, that we might be profitable to Thee and the ministry. And Lord, that we by the grace of God might glorify the Son of the living God that loved us and died for us and redeemed us from our sin. I pray tonight, Lord, that You'd bless Thy Word to every heart. And God, that You'd grant me the power and the liberty from the Spirit of God that I need. How can I preach what I'm preaching tonight without the power of God upon me? And so I pray for divine power and help from You tonight, Lord, that I might preach something that will stir up the hearts of Your people, move them, and bless them to the glory and honor of God. Have Your divine will and way in every heart, and we'll thank You for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Now I want to try. The Bible said there again, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I want to try to preach again tonight on the thought, the house that Jesus built. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I began this message, if you remember, I believe it was on last Tuesday night. And I want to kind of continue our thought in the message this evening. Again, our text says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I preached on the home as being that house. And then last Tuesday night, I preached on the house of God. Now, I want to say again to you without any reservations at all, except the Lord build those two houses, a man that makes attempts and tries to do it will labor in vain. It takes the Lord in our homes, and it'll take the Lord in the house of God if we're to build a house that will stand and one that is pleasing to our Lord in all ways. I want to say that the Lord is both the architect and the master builder of the house of God. I think there's probably some folk that believe that the Lord's work in the church was came about because of His failure in the nation of Israel. But that's not the case at all. My friend, before the foundations of the world, our Lord knew that there'd come a day when He would take us old Gentiles, and by the work of the Spirit of God and the preaching of the gospel, that He would graft us in and do a work in what is called and through what is called the church, that called out assembly. By the way, that's what the word church means. It means a called out assembly. And folks, that is why it can never be universal and invisible, is because that universal church has never assembled anywhere in its entirety. I'm glad that we are a called out assembly. And we've been scripturally baptized, and God has bound us together by the Holy Ghost that we might perpetrate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're looking at a church tonight. This church is a building. This church is a body. It's a building that the Lord is putting together one individual, one soul at a time. It is a body that He is building one piece at a time. And because we're built by the Lord, we're able to carry out the work of God that He's given us to do here upon this earth. But the Lord is the architect, and the Lord is the master builder. He designed the church before the foundation of the world. And He built that church, my friend, in His earthly ministry. And ever since that, every church that has been being built is built by the pattern that Almighty God has laid down for it to be built by. The Bible said in Matthew 16:18, the Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to thank God for the church tonight. Brother, we may not be many in number, but if it's the church that the Lord's built, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I say this without reservation, that except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Brother, we're living in a day when there is a great falling away, and men are abandoning the church. They're pulling away from the church, and they're building community centers, and they're building worship centers, and they're building praise centers. But I'm glad, thank God, that I'm a member of the Bud Boat Town and have been baptized, my friend, into a local New Testament church. And except a man abide in the ship, he cannot be saved by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. I say that in all honesty. Now the Lord did build that church, and we find in the Scriptures a pattern or a blueprint that every New Testament church today must follow. Now, I want to say that if a church is not built upon what that Bible says, it's not a church. In fact, Brother Paul told a young preacher, he said, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. As far as I know, it is the only truthful entity in the world today. Brother, it's not the 700 Club, and it's not the PTL Club. It's not the Mooses, and it's not the Lodges. No, sir. No, sir. And I want to say, my friend, it's not the Masonic Order either. A lot of people today are talking about reaching a higher plateau in spirituality by becoming a Mason. I thought a Mason was somebody that laid bricks and concrete blocks. Amen. But I'm telling you, the Mason they're talking about is somebody that meets behind a secret place and has all kind of little secret orders and meetings and gatherings. But a church is not that way. A brother, we don't meet in secret. We're opened up for sinners that they might come into the house of God and hear the preaching of the gospel and be saved. And they don't have to go through an order deal nor a ritual to get in the house of God. All they have to do is fall under old time Holy Ghost conviction, get born again by the Holy Ghost and baptized into that local assembly by the help and grace of Almighty God. Amen. I know that's right. Hallelujah. Last week I said that there was unity among the people. And I want to say again that you find the blueprint in the Bible. And you can't go beyond the Bible. If the Bible doesn't teach it, it's not so. That's right. And He has left us with a blueprint or a perfect design in the Bible for His New Testament church. Last week I said there had to be unity among the people. And I want to say that again tonight. Friend, we can't have a New Testament church a fussing and a fighting. And you can't have a New Testament church some folks pulling in one way and some folks pulling in another way. You can't have a New Testament church some people thinking this way and some people thinking that way. We ought to be like-minded. We ought to have one faith and be like-minded down at the house of God. Amen. And we ought to have a mindset basically to do two things. And that is to glorify the God of heaven and to carry out the great commission that He's given us in the Scriptures to carry out. Last week I preached on that unity in the house of God. And tonight for just a little while, and I won't be long, I promise you. But I want to preach, if I can, for a little while tonight on the unction that was in that early church. Now, I want to say, my friend, that we're not New Testament. And we're certainly not the church that the Lord built if we do not possess that unctionizing power of the Holy Ghost. And if there is one element missing everywhere I go, It is the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost in that church. And I tell you, if you just mention the Holy Ghost and His power in the church and His presence in the church, most folks just about think you've cussed God. And they think all you got to do is come to church and He is there. I'm going to tell you, my friend, they tarried after our Lord's death for 50 days before they ever had the power of the Holy Ghost in that church that our Lord built. Amen. You get a hold of what I just said? That's right. And I'm telling you that without that unction, and most Baptists don't have it. And the reason they don't have it, they don't understand it. And the reason they don't understand it, they're afraid to try to understand it. They're afraid they'll be labeled a Pentecostal or a charismatic or something along that line. Or maybe just some kind of a Bible fanatic if you mention the fact that Baptists ought to seek God and seek His face for the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about that old-fashioned anointing of God upon us, my friend, that will enable us to walk in His power and to please God in this life and to perpetrate the gospel of the Lord Jesus around the world. Ain't not many folks ever been familiarized with the unction that comes from the Holy Ghost of God. I'll assure you that. But without that unction, without that power, we'll never function as a New Testament church. Now we might be down the line in our Bible doctrine. We might have the doctrine of salvation down the line. A man has got to be convicted by the Spirit and converted by the Spirit, and that we're sealed in the day of redemption, and we might have the doctrine of justification and sanctification right down the line. But I want to say, my friend, that you can have truth and you can have letter. But I want to remind you that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And I'm telling you, I've never seen so many Baptist churches that are deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. And we're dead because there is no power of the Holy Ghost in the church. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm getting tired of hearing that. You might get a lot tireder." I'm simply saying, friend, that we need heaven to open and God to come down and to anoint this church with holy oil for the glory of God that would revive us and bring us to where we ought to be. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now I'm telling you, you can have everything right down the line in letter and be deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. While Miss Hall was teaching those ladies in that class on Saturday, I was with the pastor. He said, "Brother Hall," he said, "there's a church right down the road from us, and we went to school with a fellow's pastor." Now, I didn't remember the boy's name, but he said, "You and I went to school with him." And said, "It's a Baptist Reformed church." And I said, "Don't tell me anything else." I said, "He's 5 points all the way down the line." He said, "How'd you know?" I said, "I've heard of them fellas before." He said, "Let me tell you something else about him." I said, "Don't have to tell me another thing. Let me tell you." I said, "He's deader than 4 o'clock in the morning." He said, "How do you know?" I said, "Because the latter, my friend, killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Now I'm telling you, we need an anointing of the Holy Ghost to give us life in the house of God. Amen. That's right. He said, "I've been to his services and said they're just as straight doctrinally as a man can be, except every now and then they'll kind of get off on Calvinism a little. Deeper than," he said, "than I want to go." He said, "I understand salvation of the Lord. I don't have any problem with that." He said, "I don't have any problem with total depravity and all that." But he said, "They kind of get way off in left field." But he said, "I'm telling you," he said, "deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. You could hear a pin drop in the house of God." And I'm going to tell you, I believe you drop a pin in some places here most of the time on carpet and hear it fall to the floor. Amen. I'm going to tell you why. It's because, hey, there ain't no activity of the Spirit of God. There's no anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you what, friend, we need an old-fashioned anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. Because power and unction is more than noise. You'd be surprised what all the power of the Holy Ghost would do in Baptist life. Amen and amen. Need that unction. Listen very carefully. The Bible said, if you got your Bibles, keep them open. Open them to the book of Acts and keep them there. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 1 in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of Baptists that try to deny that verse of Scripture. I've had them to try to tell me that that's water baptism. I've had them to tell me that that's being filled with the Holy Ghost. I've had them to tell me everything under the sun. But I'm telling you, my friend, he was talking to saved people that had already received the indwelling Holy Spirit. But he said, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I'm going to tell you, the secret of it lies in that word baptized. That word means two things, really three, I believe, in you strong throughout the New Testament. All means the same thing. We're talking about water baptism or otherwise. It means the same thing. That word means to whelm. Now, most folks don't know what. I'll be honest, when I saw it, I didn't know what the word whelm means. I had to look it up in Webster's to find out what the word whelm means. But it means to whelm. It means to cover wholly. And that's not H-O-L-Y, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. And it means to moisten as with water. In other words, my friend, they were covered wholly, completely, entirely with the Holy Ghost of God on that wonderful day. Buddy, when they heard that sound as of a mighty rushing wind from heaven, are you listening to me? And it filled the house. That's where they were whelmed when the Spirit of God filled the house. He completely whelmed them, overcovered them, completely over. But I'm going to tell you, when they were filled, it's when the Holy Ghost, like cloven tongues of fire, sat upon each one of them and gave them utterance to speak with other tongues by the grace of God. Amen. And there is a difference. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe I'd have enough liberty tonight to run through a wall if y'all would help me. I've got the liberty to preach, friend. Amen. Baptized means to whelm. And that word whelm means to cover wholly. It means to moisten. If I may say this, everybody listen carefully. They were overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost. Overwhelmed. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. I say overwhelmed because it come from above. And it overwhelmed them. Hey, look here. Most Baptists tonight are overwhelmed with cares and afflictions and troubles and our own little silly problems. I'm going to tell you, hey, what unction is, friend, is being overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost of God. That's right. That means, hey, giving Him our attention. That's right. That means minding Him and not being concerned about nor thinking about constantly the problems of life. But being overwhelmed by Him. Have you ever thought about that? Whatever overwhelms us is what we give most of our attention and time to. Is that not right? Whatever overwhelms us is what we think about. If we've got a job we don't like, we think about that thing, it overwhelms us. If there's a problem in the family, and we can't get it resolved, we just think and think and think and think on it, and eventually it overwhelms us. We're buried in it. We're smothered by it. We're overcovered with it, covered up all around. I mean, we go to bed at night thinking about it. We get up in the morning thinking about it. We live all day long thinking about it. We come to church thinking about it. And that's why we can't have God, because we come to church thinking about everything else other than God Himself. That's right. They were overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost. Amen to God. Amen. I want to say, secondly, very quickly by way of introduction, that they were not only overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost, they were overcome by the Holy Ghost. Now listen carefully. You got your Bibles? Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Somebody said, uh-oh, there goes Brother Hall. He's talking about speaking in tongues. No, I ain't got, hey, I just read that verse. Well, let me read these first. I won't say that tongues, hey, the tongues that they spoke was a known language. For Acts 2 and verse 8 says, have you got your Bibles there? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Hey, I use this verse to simply show the power and the influence that the Spirit of God had over them. He so controlled them that He had the power for them to speak with languages that was beside their own. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not talking about speaking in unknown tongues like they did. But I'm telling you, if we'll ever get under that unctionizing power of the Holy Ghost of God, we might speak, my friend, with some tongues that seem quite foreign to our everyday vocabulary. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about unknown tongues or an unknown language. I'm talking about talking like Christians. Amen. Having a heavenly, holy language. I'm talking about having our lips, our tongue seasoned with grace. I'm talking about words of grace and comfort and encouragement. I'm talking about seeing a brother or sister in need and having enough of the Holy Ghost power upon us, controlling us, that our tongue can comfort them. And our words, my friend, will be like apples of gold in pictures of silver and be a blessing to those individual people. My God, I'm killing myself and y'all look at me like calves in a new gate. Amen. That's right. They were influenced and controlled. In fact, they were overcome by the Holy Ghost. They couldn't help themselves. They were fully overcome by Him to the point that their actions were beyond their own. And what they did was outside, remember Brother Ballou, was well outside of their own ability. They did not possess that ability. Oh, praise God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, hey, if we'll ever get that unctionizing power of the Holy Ghost of God, I'll guarantee you we can accomplish some things that is beyond their own abilities and capabilities. That's right. We'll let that Holy Ghost control us. Overwhelm us, overcome us. Somebody said, I can't. Oh, no, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How's He going to strengthen us? By His power in the inner man, by the Holy Ghost that has anointed and unctionized us. Hallelujah. Me and Brother Jerome's having a good time. Amen. Woo. Amen. The Spirit of God controlled them to the point that the people thought that they were drunk. You ever got that way? The Bible said in Acts 2:13, this crowd said, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Said they're drunker than Cooter Brown. I never seen anybody act that way. They must be drunk. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, that's just a one-time occasion. Is it now? Wonder what it was. That old Eli said to little old Hannah, when he said, woman, how long will you be drunk like that? Why don't you put away that wine from your lips? She said, oh no, said, I'm not a woman. I'm not a woman of Belial. I'm not drunk, but I'm a woman of great sorrow, and I'm praying to my God in my heart. What was that woman doing? She was overwhelmed and overcome and controlled by the Holy Ghost. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. I guarantee if we ever get that way, we'll learn to pray like Hannah prayed. Amen. Amen. That's right. Says mocking, said you're drunk. They're full of new wine. But old Peter in verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken unto my words." Verse 15. "For these men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Verse number 16. "But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel." Verse number 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh." Hallelujah to God. I'm glad of that. Thanks be unto His wonderful name. Hey, look up here at Brother Hall just for a minute. The best I can find what that verse is saying, pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. In the Old Testament, He only poured out His Spirit upon choice men. Men like Samson, men like Joshua, men like Moses, just on those individual special men. But son, on the day of Pentecost, that prophecy of Joel came to pass, and God poured out His Holy Ghost upon the church of the living God, and poured it out upon all flesh, that we might enjoy the power of God in the church like they enjoy in their own bodies and persons. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Glory to God. I'm glad He poured it out on all flesh. Amen. Woo-wee. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. On that wonderful day, Christ empowered His church. And every New Testament church to operate effectively must possess the same spiritual power. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain at building. And when the Lord builds a house, He anoints it with power. Amen. He oceanizes it with power. Amen. Are we His church? Amen. Are you His building? Are you His vessel? Are you His child? Do we possess that unction? Do we possess that anointing? Are we His church? Amen. Are we trying to do something in our own energy here? Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Listen to these verses. 1 John 2:20. If you haven't already read them, underline them, you can. Old Brother John said, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." That word unction is power. You have an anointing. You have an unction from the Holy One. 1 John 2:27. "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you." Woo! Can you get a hold of that one? That unction, that anointing, it abideth in you. That is, it dwells there, it lives there. My goodness, why don't we as God's church just unbridle the power and let the power of God flow through us for His glory? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's like those great, what do they call them, dynamos down yonder in that dam at Barclay Lake. Huh? Turbines. That word, gospel, the power of the gospel, comes from the word dynamo, where we get our word dynamite, and it's dynamo, that is, it's continuously turning. What I'm saying, the power of God by the Spirit that abideth in us is a continually moving, operating, effective power that never shuts down. I'm going to tell you, friend, if we went down to Lake Barclay and shut down the turbines, the lights would go out around them, buddy. Now I'm telling you, if you shut down the dynamo of the Holy Ghost, that anointing that abideth in the church, if you shut her down, the lights will go out. And it ain't no wonder it's getting dark right now. Ain't no wonder it's dark in America. My God, why are sinners dying and going to hell? And why is the glorious light of the gospel? I'm going to tell you why. Because we've harnessed the power of God. And we've harnessed it through our ignorance. And we've harnessed it through our worldliness and our carnality. And we've harnessed it through our lack of yielding ourselves to God the way we ought to. In fact, in Bible terminology, ladies and gentlemen, we've grieved God.
Amen.
And we've turned off the turbines.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, throughout America, everywhere I go, those turbines, those dynamo wheels that used to turn and generate holy power in that assembly of God, is very slowly but surely coming to a halt, buddy. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. I've heard preachers preach and say God's coming back after the church. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said He's coming back after the dead in Christ.
Amen.
That's those that are in the church and out of it. You can take that for what it's worth. I won't
Amen.
Charge you nothing for that. But I'm going to tell you why I believe He put it that way. I'm going to tell you, I believe our churches are just filled up with lost people.
Amen.
They don't know anything about the power of the Holy Ghost. And most Baptists don't want to know anything about them. It takes a yielding ourselves and a giving of ourselves to God to let Him operate within us. Most Baptists don't want to do that. Amen. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians rather. Chapter 1, verses 21 and 22.
Amen.
Now He which establisheth us with you, get a hold of this verse, in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that it's God that anointed us. And it's God that has sealed us. And it's God that has given us the earnest of the Spirit. That is, God giving us the down payment, my friend, of our salvation.
By
the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Amen. Well, some of you quit. Some of you never did get started. Jerome's slowing down. I won't say not only were they overwhelmed by the Spirit, they were... What was the second one He used? Over something or another? Huh? Overcome by the Holy Spirit. But I won't say they were overseen by the Holy Ghost. Woo-wee! Somebody said, preacher, what on earth do you mean? Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, the former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. I'm glad, thank God, that the Holy Ghost oversees the church. Friend, I'm going to tell you, He is the authority in this assembly tonight. That is right. And I'm telling you, we can't operate with the authority on the outside of the door. And we can't operate if the authority is grieved and quenched and saddened and full of sorrow. We can't operate if he is so grieved, my friend, that we fail to let Him have liberty in the house of God. And I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say well. He doesn't have liberty in the house of God because He doesn't have liberty in you. You have individuals possess the Spirit of God, and collectively we make up the church. And unless you yield yourself to the Holy Ghost, He cannot have liberty in the house of God. When folks come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, whatever it might be, and they're pooged up, pudged up, pouted up, I'm talking about they fought like cats and dogs at home. Mama don't like what's going on. Daddy's been a fussing and arguing. The kids ain't well. And and I'm telling you, we come to church, sit down, plop down, and look, bless God, like we can bite a 10-penny nail in two. Don't ever expect God to do anything. Can't do it. Can't do it. Now I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say to you right quickly. Don't hear anything else. Hear this. I've seen some come to church. And I'm starting to learn a few things, Brother Doug. But I've seen a few people come to church, and on their countenance, you'd think they're mad at the whole world. And really, there ain't a thing wrong with them. Now, I've seen others come to church and just smile at you and be full of hate and animosity. Oh, yeah. I've seen that. And sometimes we probably think the ones that their countenance kind of shows a little bit. And I'd say that if God's living in there right every now and then, our countenance will get up a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I've seen folks laugh and smile before and still be grieving God in their heart.
Amen,
brother. Four things and I'm done. I've got to my message. That was the introduction. The rest of it come after. Was over here, Miss Ruth. I won't say to have that power, there must be a waiting upon that power.
Amen.
You'll never have it without waiting upon it. Acts 1:4 said, and being assembled together with them, this is Acts 1:4, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Do what, Brother Hall? Wait for the promise of the Father. And look here, all these years of preaching, I've been preaching for over 20 years, Brother Shelby, and I've never seen this in that verse until this afternoon when I was getting ready for this. Can you get a hold of this? Jesus has done died, went to the grave, and been resurrected. And He has done shown Himself with many infallible proofs in their midst. And He's commanded them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. But oh, blessed truth, can you get a hold of this? They wasn't sitting there alone. Did you get what I just read? And being assembled together with them.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. I want to say they waited in His presence. They weren't there in that little upper room by themselves, friend. They were there with Him in their presence. He being assembled together with them. Oh, what an encouragement. What a help. I really believe that if we could get a hold of that and believe that God is in our midst as a reality, that we'd have no problem just dwelling and waiting here in His divine presence until He sends the promise of the Father for him. Now, I'm glad to have got some of you stirred up. Some of you are reading. Hallelujah, that's good. Ain't that what it said? And He being assembled together with them. Did I read it right? He was there encouraging them, strengthening them, praying for them, giving them direction and help, and giving them enough grace to patiently wait upon Him. I wonder if we've got that kind of patience. Just to wait. I've heard preachers say, we don't need another Pentecost. Well, I don't believe there'll ever be another Pentecost. But I'm going to tell you what. Every church has got to have that same power they got at Pentecost.
Amen.
It'll be useless without it. Our efforts will be absolutely useless, church, without it. And I'm going to tell you something. This bunch of tobacco-chewing General Baptist. Talk about having God. Ain't got God. They ain't a church and they ain't got God. And I'm going to tell you something else. A bunch of chewing, tobacco-chewing, cigarette-sucking, skirt-chasing Southern Baptists ain't got Him either.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something else. It's a bunch of hole-hopping, adulterating, independent Baptists ain't got Him either, buddy.
Amen.
Ain't got Him! I wonder if you want to be a church that Jesus built or do you want to be a church that is man-made? Do you want God and do you want His power? Are you satisfied where you are tonight? I'm not satisfied. I've been preaching over 20 years, pastoring a good deal of those years, and I am not satisfied with where I am. I can't help but to believe that a real, truly born-again child of God will never get satisfied with where they are. Oh, I'm satisfied with Jesus. Whew. I'm glad He laid that on my heart. Praise God. I'm well satisfied with Jesus. But I'm telling you, I'm not satisfied with myself.
Amen.
That's right. I want more.
Amen.
I want more. That's right. I want to get rid of more worldliness. I want to put off the old man and put on the new. Amen. And so they were waiting in His presence. I want to say secondly, they were waiting with a promise. Acts 1:5, He told them, for John truly baptized with water, but you might be baptized with the Holy Ghost if you wait long enough. But you shall. But you shall be baptized. with the Holy Ghost not many days since. I'm going to ask you something tonight. Can I ask you just a kind of an off-the-wall question? How long would you be willing to wait in this building if a man walked in that back door and you knew him? And you knew that he had, say it was Bill Gates, and he walked in and put down a promissory note on the table and said, there it is to every member of this church. The money's laying up here in the vault. I've given it in the hands of the banker. And the banker stood back there and said, it's true. I've got it. And said, all the stipulation is that all you've got to do is wait here X amount of time. And every member of this church get $1 million. You couldn't run you off. You'd wait here until you were so hungry that you couldn't crawl to the water fountain. And I'm going to tell you, I possess something.
Amen.
We possess something in our heart that is more precious than gold.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, can you believe me when I tell you this, church? Possessing the power of God
Amen.
Is the next best thing to being saved. I would gladly wait and wait and wait for God if I knew He had given the promise, and He has, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Amen
and amen. So they were waiting with the presence. They were waiting in His presence. They were waiting with His promise. He said, you shall be. Not many days hence. And get this. They were waiting with this promise. The Bible said in Acts 2:39, for the promise. There it is unto you.
Amen.
Now somebody said, well, that's all there is to it, Brother Hoss, to me. Oh no, that verse of Scripture goes on to say, and to your children. Wait on God for your youngins. And it's not only to you, he said, and to your children. Look here, that's the Jews he's talking about. But I'm glad, thank God, he put this little statement in verse 39 when he said it's the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, who's afar off? Us old Gentiles were afar off from God. But by the blood we have been made nigh. I'm glad, thank God, the promise of the Holy Ghost come to us old Gentiles. Hallelujah to God. Yes, and to you who are afar off, to all. That's every Gentile. And then it goes on to say, and I want to be fair, said even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Somebody said, well, that means He don't call everybody. No, that means many are called, but few are chosen. And when He said to all that are afar off, He said, even as many as our Lord are called, that refers back to all that are afar off, to the children, and to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm glad
yes.
that He included me.
Yes.
Woo! Glory to God. Thank God He included me.
Yes.
That the promise is not only to the Jews, and the promise is not only to their children, but it's to all that Gentile crowd.
Right.
Are far off.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I want to say secondly, waiting upon the power. And then there is a witnessing with that power.
Amen.
Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what are you going to do with it, Brother Hall? And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
You read that in your Bible? But you shall receive power. For what reason? When will you receive it? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
What did those cloven tongues of fire do in Acts chapter number 2? Set upon each of them.
Amen.
That's right. And they received that power. They were whelmed by the Holy Ghost, and then they received power. Now listen to me. The Holy Ghost, I'm going to make some of you mad that don't understand your Bible, but the Holy Ghost baptized them into one body. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, for by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. He's talking about that Corinthian church. I'm telling you, my friend, the work of the Holy Ghost in bringing save people to the church and putting them in the particular local assemblies like He does is one of the most marvelous Bible truths in all the Bible. You think I'm here by accident? Nope. Neither are you. No. The Spirit of God, just like Pentecost, only one at a time He has baptized us in this body. Somebody said, I don't believe that. I know you won't if you're a universalist, but if you'll ever get a hold of the Bible, you will. I like it, Preacher Hall. Hallelujah to God. Don't nobody leave me now. Witness with that power. How do we do it? He said you'd be witnesses in Jerusalem. Witness by mouth. Witness by mouth. He said you'd be witnesses also to me in Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost. Witnesses by missions. We can't witness by mouth in Mexico unless we're down there, but we can send missionaries and let them witness by mouth. And so you have witnessing by mouth. You have witnessing by missions. And I'm telling you, how do we send the missionaries there? With our money. And so we witness by mouth, by missions and money. That we, and with power of the Holy Ghost, we do that. Somebody said, I can't give. You can if the power of God's on you. Oh, somebody said, I can't talk. You can if God opens up your mouth. I'm going to tell you, if I've ever had God on me, He's on me tonight. He is on me tonight, friend. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I won't say thirdly, walking in that power. Chapter number 3, old Peter and John went up to the temple to hour of prayer, and an old beggar man sat there. Peter looked down on him, saw him lift that tin cup up. Old Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Give unto thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. The Bible said that old boy got up and went walking and leaping into the temple and a praise and God is what he was going. And all that crowd come around them and they must have looked kind of strangely at Peter. Listen to me. For in verse 12, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? They were just marveling at it. I mean, Acts 3 and verse 12. Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? But he went on to tell them it was by Jesus whom they had crucified that man was made to walk. I want everybody to look right up here when I say this. There's a fine line between believing God and His Word and being a religious idiot.
Amen.
God worked through, get a hold of this now. God worked through Peter and John. But men are not made whole by our power. Neither are men made whole by us commanding Jesus.
Amen.
Did you hear what Peter said in that when I quoted it? Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What did he have? He had the power of the Holy Ghost. And he had enough power that his words convicted the heart of that man. That's where we're missing today, buddy. Witnessing by mouth. There's no power in our speech. When that man heard that, he was made whole. And that crowd said, look at what Peter's done. Boy, ain't Ernest Angley a real man of God? He called somebody to be slain in the Spirit. Somebody ought to slay him with a cat of nine tails. Oh, didn't... What's his name? Oral Roberts. He's healed thousands. Heal thyself, physician. Cleanse your own spots, leper. Cure yourself! leprosy. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Peter did not command the Holy Ghost to do nothing. He simply let the power of the Holy Ghost that was in him work through him on that man. And when that crowd come around, Peter didn't swell out his shoulder and say, "Yeah, I've raised him from the dead. I'm a healer. I'm a giver of life. I've got power." He looked at that crowd and said, "Hey, it wasn't by my power that happened. It was by the Son of God that you crucified and hanged on a tree and buried in a grave. But He rose again, and He's got that kind of power to make that man whole today." I'm going to tell you, He's still got power to make sinners whole. Amen. I want to say fourthly, and I'm closing. You can not only have to wait on that power, witness in that power, walk in that power, but you can war in that power. Some of you ain't fighting too good of a warfare. Chapter number 4. Peter and John was arrested and commanded not to preach in His name anymore. Never again. But they said in verse 19 of that chapter, Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And that crowd said, "What can we do to them?" And they went away from there rejoicing. Got back to their own company and explained to them what had happened. And when they got down to pray, the Bible said the whole building was shaking where they were praying at.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, friend, you get the unction eyes and power of God on you, there'll be some earth-shaking things going off around your home and around the house of God.
Amen.
I have not been told what God can do through a little handful of believers like us if we'll completely submit ourselves to God and let God have His wonderful way in our heart and life.
Amen.
And look for God. Some of you has got the idea that you have practically arrived. There ain't no further you can go with God. God help you if you feel that way. And you feel like you've got the power of God really on you, just running off of you like honey. I ain't seen it. I ain't seen it. You wait. Hey, they believe God just waited on them. They waited because they realized He had something to give them they didn't have.
Amen.
If He hadn't given it to you, it's worth waiting on. Let's stand together.